Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. If you come along on Sunday night, which most of you do, you would know that I'm going through a series following Joshua as he leads the children of Israel into and through the Promised Land. And since I thought I was preaching this evening, that's where we are today. And so, how about we start with a word of prayer, and then we'll see what God has for us. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we have a place to come, and more importantly, we have a beautiful God to come and worship. And Lord, sorry for the times we doubt you and think ill of you, for the times when we think you've let us down and you don't love us. Lord, these are contrary to what you have revealed in your word. Lord, we have much to give thanks for. We have a beautiful God to worship. And as we stop and we consider your word and your dealings and workings in the lives of others and how this applies to us, knowing that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, I pray that it'll be an encouragement to us to trust you and to enjoy those things that you have for us. So I pray for this and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you have a look at the title, it is Don't Miss Your Inheritance. Don't miss your inheritance. If you were to look into the dictionary to see what inheritance means, you'll discover something like this. Property passing at the owner's death to the heir or those entitled to succeed. So property of some sort, passing to someone else. And most of the time, inheritance is a rather awkward topic because there needs to be the death of someone in order to receive it. And so it's not something you talk a lot about with your parents particularly. You know, why don't we have a chat about inheritance, Mum, Dad, you know, just keen about all this. Although Alicia has brought it up a couple of times recently. but generally you don't bring it up. And so an inheritance is a bittersweet time. You're thankful for what you've received in regards to the inheritance, but you're sad about the reason that you actually got it. Unless you're the prodigal son. You know, he wanted his inheritance early, and he didn't mind talking to his father about it and getting it prior to death. I know that when I was about five, and we were visiting my nana in Wagga. So I travelled from around Gosford area down to Wagga in the old days, in a HQ Kingswood with no air conditioning and the windy roads, and we had to go all the way 400 miles. I still have it engraved in my mind of how far you had to travel to go and see grumpy Nana Wikes, all right? She was the grumpy Nana. You never want to be the grumpy Nana, but anyway, she was. And we were squashed into a little apartment, and we had to stay there for a whole week and try not to get in trouble off grumpy Nana, which was pretty well impossible. And I do remember that one good thing about grumpy Nana Wikes was that she had a big TV, and it was colour. And we only had a little TV at home, and it was black and white, so very exciting at least to go and see this coloured TV. And I do remember sitting there one afternoon and watching the TV, and I plucked up the courage and I said to grumpy Nana Wikes, "Nan, when you die, can I have your TV?" And my mother nearly died when I said that. And surprisingly, she didn't get grumpy. She just said, "Well, Alan, we'll see." I thought, "Oh, okay, we'll see." Well, jump ahead 15 years when I was about 20, grumpy Nana did pass away, and to my surprise, she had left her TV to me in her will. Can you believe that? So it doesn't hurt to ask, I'm telling you. She had updated a few times. In fact, when she moved into the nursing home, she downsized. Now, if I knew that if I was in the will, I would have been encouraging her to get a big one, you know, to help her eyesight. You know, get the biggest one you can then. But she downsized, so it wasn't quite the one that I had asked for. But anyway, that was the first time I'd ever received an inheritance of any sort. And now when Mum and Dad have passed away, I have received a little bit of inheritance as well. And so that's what we're looking at today. That's what an inheritance is. And in our series, Following Joshua, we see how each tribe of Israel received an inheritance from the Lord, except the Levites. But they received a parcel of land in the promised land, what that was theirs for the taking. Yet not only was it time for the tribes to receive their inheritance, the Lord actually puts aside a little part of His word and shows us His faithfulness to one of His faithful servants in giving him an inheritance as well. And He reveals to us how Caleb's long wait for his inheritance was over, and now it was time for Caleb to receive that inheritance that God had promised him so many years before. I only had to wait 15 years for my TV inheritance, and that poor old Caleb, he had to wait 45 years for his inheritance from the Lord. But that's what we learn about in Joshua chapter 14. Now in verses 6 to 8, we have what I would call the long wait. And what we read in these three verses is how Caleb came to Joshua to receive his inheritance. He'd seen it a long time ago, but unable to enjoy it. But now that he was 85 years old, he comes to his old companion Joshua and asks for his inheritance. We read there in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing which that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And so he reminds Joshua what the Lord said through Moses. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And so, so we see here that he goes to Joshua and he reminds him of what Moses had said 40 years earlier. And in Numbers we read how he told them how it was exactly when Caleb came back from spying out the land, he told the people that the land was exactly what God said it was like. It was beautiful and amazing. And he encouraged the people to go in and take the land and enjoy what God had given them. And he, as we will read, he rehearsed that to Joshua. And he rehearsed how the 10 spies didn't do this, but they melted the hearts of the people. And they told them that it was too hard to take the land. And we know that the people listened to the spies instead of listening to Caleb and Joshua. And because of that, they didn't go in and take the land. But now, 45 years later, Caleb is still waiting to take his inheritance. And he has seen his parents, his brothers, his sisters, his friends perish in the wilderness and never get to enjoy the land of inheritance. And he's actually missed out for 45 years enjoying the land that God had actually promised him. And now as an 85-year-old, he's still waiting to take that land. And in Numbers 13, we discover, if we weren't turned back there, but we're told why the people didn't enjoy the land of inheritance back then. And that was because they listened to the faithless men, those 10 faithless men that went into the land to spy it out, and these 10 men caused the people's heart to melt. I won't read it, but that's what took place. And so they could have been enjoying this 40, 45 years earlier. Yet they listened to these 10 men who weren't willing to trust God, and they weren't willing to take the land because of it. You know, as I read that, first of all, it made me stop to realize that there are a lot of Christians today that don't enjoy the Christian life the way that they could and the way that they should. And it's because they have listened to people that aren't willing to trust God and step out in faith and do what God wants. And they listen to people that aren't willing to do that, and it melts their heart. And a question I'd like to put to you first of all is, who do you actually listen to in your Christian life? Do you listen to those who are always negative, those who are always critical, those who doubt the Word of God, doubt that what God says about how you can live the Christian life is real, and they think that living a defeated Christian life is the normal? Do you listen to those people? If you do, you're never really going to enjoy the Christian life. Wonder, have you been discouraged from stepping out in faith by the words of others who were meant to step out in faith, but they never did? Have you missed out on the blessings that God has promised because you've listened to people that have missed out on the blessings that God has promised them because of their unbelief? You know, there's a psalm, Psalm 1, verse 1, and we often consider this to be listening to the godless. But often it can be even the faithless in the Christian life, where it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sadly, sometimes, even a saved person can be a scornful person, negative, and influence others. Wonder if you've been listening to the wrong people in your Christian life. Or in the other step that's even worse is, I wonder if you have been like the 10 spies, not listening, but you've been the one discouraging others. When people want to talk about the Lord and they're keen for the things of God, they want to serve Him, they want to step out in faith, and they want to seek the Lord and put Him first in their life, and then they meet you, and after they've talked to you, they're discouraged. You think, oh, I think you're going a little bit over the top. I think you're getting a little bit too extreme. And by the time they've finished talking to you, they've lost all of that. Are you that sort of person? It's bad enough when we don't trust the Lord and step out in faith ourselves. But I tell you what, it's even worse when you discourage others from doing that. When I was in my early 20s, I sort of worked that out, praise God. And I tried to surround myself with... And sorry that I have a son called this, but I used to try and surround myself with Joshuas and Calebs. All right, Hosanna's been doing that recently. but it's a good idea to surround yourself with Joshuas and Calebs. I wanted to hang around those who wanted to step out and serve the Lord and trust God and put Him first in their life. I tried to keep my distance from those who were like the 10 spies, who always seem to be criticizing people in the church, who are always doubting the ministry of the church or criticizing the leadership or complaining about what was going on in the church and never getting involved, but just criticizing from a distance. I could see, just as a young man, these people never actually grow. All they do is sit around and complain, and I don't want to be like that. And so I made it a conscious effort. I'm not going to hang around these people. I'm going to hang around the Joshuas and the Calebs who are positive and want to serve the Lord. You want to do yourself a favor? Hang around those sort of people. Be one of those sort of people. And rebuke those who aren't like that. That would be my advice and encouragement to you. Caleb's and Joshua's. They are a blessing. And that's sadly why Caleb finds himself 45 years later still not being able to enjoy the promised area that God had given him, because the bulk of the people listened to those who were faithless, and it made their heart melt. But after seeing that first point, the long wait, then we see the Lord's will in verse 9. Caleb reminds Joshua of God's promise in verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, he's reminding him back at Kadesh Barnea, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." And what we see here is that the inheritance that Caleb was wanting and was waiting for, it wasn't his own idea, it was God's idea. This was God's will and desire for Caleb. He didn't think, I really like that little piece over there, and I like that over there, I like that valley. And so, Joshua, I think because I've been so deserving and so faithful, I want all these parts over here. No, he just didn't pick and choose where he wanted. As we go on, we see that this was what God promised Caleb. And when it comes to getting inheritances, you just don't usually get to pick it. It's something that is given to you. Even with an earthly inheritance, if your parents pass away, and you go and say to the rest, "Look, I think I was the favorite, so I think I'm going to get the house and the car and so on, and you can get the rest." I don't think that's going to go down too well. You don't get to pick and choose what you want because you think you deserve it. But on the other hand, if mum and dad had specifically said you get an item, you can say that was their wish, that was their promise, and so I can claim it because that's what they wanted me to have. There's a very big difference between the two. And God promised this particular land to Caleb. And so because of that, he boldly asked for it. And there are many things in this life we want. And sadly, many Christians think we even deserve them, even though the Lord hasn't promised them. And we need to make sure that when we claim and promise something, it is actually something that God has promised to us, and not just simply something we want. The key is finding the promises that God's made you and then claiming them. For example, God has promised forgiveness of sin through Christ. That is something that you can claim and enjoy and be sure of it. He's promised victory over sin. That's something that you can claim and be sure of it. He's promised comfort in the Holy Spirit. He's promised guidance when we acknowledge. These are things that, as a part of living the Christian life, God said, "I have promised to those who will walk after me." We should be able to claim them as promises and seize them for ourselves. See, Caleb didn't just go to Joshua and say, "I just want all the land." He didn't say, "I just want this piece because I like it." If he had done that, he would have been out of line, but he went and said, "I just want what God has promised me." Have you gone and asked God for what he's promised you? Or are you expecting things that God never promised? The reality is God hasn't promised that you're going to be rich. If someone says that you can claim that, come and talk to me, and I'm happy to have an argument with you about it, all right? God's never promised that you're going to live a long, healthy, no disease-ridden life, all right? He hasn't promised that. If you're claiming that, you're going to be discouraged because it's not a promise. He hasn't promised continual good health. He hasn't promised an easy life. He hasn't promised there will be no temptation, all right? He hasn't promised particular things. There are a lot of things that God has not promised that we shouldn't expect. But I tell you what, he's given us this warning in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He has promised that you can live a life with him and in fellowship with him, walking with him, and that there are certain things in that life as he walks with you, he will give you. And he said, be careful you miss out on you don't miss out on those promises. Caleb knew what God had promised him, and now it was time to collect it. Can I encourage you? Look at what God's promised. Find his word. And then claim those things for yourself. Well, next we move on to verses 10 and 11 and we see the Lord's work. The Lord's work. Verse 10, it says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. This is what he's saying to Joshua. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Here we see the Lord's work in the life of Caleb over those years. The first thing is he rehearsed to Joshua God's goodness to him. Caleb says to Joshua, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. God made a promise to Joshua and to Caleb that you're going to get to go into the promised land. I'm going to keep you alive even though everybody else from 20 years over is going to pass away in the wilderness. And when you consider how much death Caleb would have seen throughout those 40 years, I'm only guessing that he might have to start to wonder if God was going to keep his promise to him. You know, I'm not a great mathematician, but I did a little bit of rough sums, all right? And I worked out that over 40 years, there's 14,600 days, right? If I'm a little bit wrong, you can correct me later, right? 14,600 days. Now, if there was just 1 million alive over 20, and there was probably more, but if there was only a million there, that meant, on average, 68 people died every day. And we're worried about coronavirus, I'm telling you, all right? $480 people a week. All right. So as they're going around, have you ever stopped to realize that for Joshua and Caleb, the only ones in that age bracket, they had to watch their sisters die, their mothers die, their brothers die, their friends die, and what, over 500 a week passing away from something. Can you see why when Caleb says, and the Lord hath kept me alive as he said, that's a big thing. He might have been starting to think, I hope he remembers that promise. But God was good to him. God doesn't forget his promises. That's one thing to remember. But then he says this, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So Caleb is saying that he is as strong as an 85-year-old as he was when he was 40. I know you're not 85, Peter, but do you feel as strong now as you did when you were 40?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you. That was what I was wanting to hear, because I have in my notes here, I'll just read it out. Now, either God had been very good to Caleb and allowed him to enjoy this strength, or Caleb was dreaming. I think I know which one you're doing, Peter. Right. Yeah, you could strengthen up. True. You could get on the weights and get strong. Yeah. And, you know, I'm presuming that God kept him strong. But he could have been just thinking he was just as strong as he was. You know, you can do that as you get older. You still think that you're the same as what you were before. And that's why you try and do many of the things you did before and realize it's so much harder. I was never strong, but I was very fast. And I must admit, I always thought I was fast, even as I got older. And that sort of got blown out of the water. I've told this story before when Joshua was 13 and he reckoned he could beat me in a race. And I was pretty convinced because I was so fast, all right, that I'd smash him. And so, okay, that's it. Let's put it all on the line. So we went down to the field. Robert was there as the adjudicator. And a 100-meter race. And Robert said, go. And before I even thought about taking a step, he was like up there somewhere. And so I had to just put on the afterburners and plow him down. But it didn't matter how hard I tried, I didn't go any faster, right? And he smashed me as a 13-year-old. And it was then if you'd asked me prior to that, are you just as fast as you were when you were 20? I always said, my word, I am, yeah, in my head. But then when you realize, you're not there at all. Maybe that's what Caleb was saying. Or maybe God was good to him. But it doesn't really matter. Because the one that was going to give him victory 45 years ago was still just as strong as he was this day as well. And that was the Lord God himself. God hadn't lost any power. God could have given him the victory when he was 40, 60, 85 or 185. If God had promised him that land, he was going to get that land. And Caleb could have thought, you know, wow, I missed it. 45 years ago, I had my opportunity to enjoy that land, but everyone messed it up for me. And now, I'm 85 years old, I can't get the land. And blame everyone for not enjoying the land that is theirs, his for the taking. He may have lost the keenness. Oh, I was keen, but I don't really want the land anymore. It looks all too hard for me, and so I couldn't be bothered. So many things could have changed in his own mind that he never got to enjoy the land, but he remembered the promise of God, and he was trusting in God to give him the land more so than his own strength. And please remember, even though sometimes we may not get to enjoy what we think we should have got, or people may change circumstances, understand that there is a promise that God will give us, and it's never too late. The only problem is if you stop striving and seeking for what God wants. You know, I wonder, are there promises you're missing out on because you think you're too old, or you left it too long to claim? I thought it was interesting how we prayed for the missionaries, the Kaufmans. You know, it feels like we've been praying for the Kaufmans on the mission field for years. And they have been on the mission field for years. But I want you to know that he was a very successful dentist and he could have been a very rich man. And then when he was 40, all right? When he was 40, he believed the Lord was calling him to the mission field. And he wanted to go straight away. And I know my brother said, no, you need to prepare for the mission field. And so he spent 3 years in Bible college first and then getting things ready. He could have said, I'm 40, I can't wait to train. But he did everything properly and he's been serving God in a wonderful way. And people have heard the gospel that would never have heard it. Or he at least got the opportunity to be the one telling them. Are you 40 and you think, oh, if only I had gone to college or decided to preach or to serve or be a missionary when I was younger, it's not too late. The reality is with Caleb, it wasn't the age that would have stopped him from enjoying his inheritance. It would have been his attitude. If he had stopped wholly serving the Lord, or if he had got distracted doing other things when God wanted him to do what he should have been doing, or if he had grown weary serving the Lord. That would have been the only reason he would have never got his inheritance. But he was just as keen as he was 45 years earlier, and God was just as strong and willing to keep his promise. And so what we see lastly is Caleb's wish or desire. Went with wish as I was going for W's. And I want you to understand what he is asking for. Caleb wasn't asking for some little insignificant little pocket of the promised land that had already been conquered by most, you know, the combined army. In fact, he wanted what would have been called the most scariest mountain in all of the promised land. All right? Understand that. This was the mountain and this was the land that caused the 10 spies to come back and say, there's monsters there, we're like grasshoppers, there is no way we're ever going to take this land. It was this mountain and this land that caused the spies the doubt and caused all the people for their hearts to melt. See, we won't turn there, but in Numbers we're told that the spies went to Hebron, where the children of Anak was, who were men of great stature, it says, giants. And the 10 spies said they weren't going to be able to take that land. Have a look at verse 12, though. What Joshua wanted as the inheritance or what God had given him. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And so God promised this land as an inheritance for Caleb, and with God's help, he took it. And even though those 10 spies declared that the people there were too big to be able to defeat, it was impossible to take that land, 45 years later, Caleb got to prove them wrong, even though they weren't around to do it. But he got to prove that God was mighty. And you know, friends, God's word tells us, for us New Testament believers, there are two types of inheritance that God wants to give us. Two types of inheritance. Both have come about due to the death of someone. The same person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Inheritance usually comes after the death of someone. We have two inheritances that we can enjoy. There is the land of promise where we can enjoy God's fellowship, God's love. We can enjoy victory, sometimes defeat, but we walk with the Lord and we enjoy that relationship with Him. And that is what Hebrews talks about. Don't miss out on this promise and this land of walking with the Lord. Don't be like the cynical 10 who said, it's too hard, it's impossible, I'm not going to trust, I'm not going to step out in faith. No, we'll just walk around in our wilderness feeling sorry for ourselves, criticizing everybody else. No, serve the Lord with gladness and see Him do wonderful things in your life. Can I encourage you to take God at His word and do what He wants you to do and enjoy His promises? Because that's an inheritance that we can enjoy because Jesus died on that cross for us. The second inheritance we all get to enjoy if we're a believer. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth away, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. They are the two inheritances that are on offer, and they are both found in the Lord Jesus Christ. One we have to seize, the other one we do get to enjoy. I want to enjoy both inheritances. I'm probably just as bold about asking for inheritances as I was as a five-year-old. Grumpy Nana Wikes, I asked and I got. Well, when it comes to our loving Heavenly Father, I want that inheritance. I want the one here on earth, and I want the one for eternity. I trust that that's what you're desiring as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have so many wonderful gifts that you want to give us, your children. Many are here on earth, and then many are in eternity. Help us to live that life that is one of victory, joy, encouragement, giving of thanks, instead of at one of loss and losing, defeat, criticism and sadness. Lord, I pray that each one of us will cling to those promises that you have made for us and claim them for themselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.